Maybe you or someone you know has a serious medical condition. Maybe you're just looking for answers on why you're not feeling well. Well, we've got a great show for you on KLBJ. Hi, I'm Ron Aaron with WellMed Radio, an entertaining and detailed look at health and wellness for seniors and other adults age 18 to 101. We bring you recommendations on how to live longer and healthier lives. Tune in to WellMed Radio Saturdays at 7 p.m. with the Caregiver SOS show immediately following right here on News Radio KLBJ.
They're live, local, and talking about the stories that matter to you. Share your opinions with Mark and Melinda at 512-836-0590. Now, here are Mark and Melinda.
We hope you're having an excellent afternoon. It is 4:03. Thank you for joining us. Trey is here producing. The numbers are 512-836-0590. Ashley is in Dripping Springs. Hello, Ashley. How are you today?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
Very well. Thank you, Ashley. What are your thoughts?
Melinda, first I have to say I just adore you. And if you didn't live across the river, you and I would be meeting up for lunches or something.
Hey, I can travel.
Okay. So just on the topic of our public schools in Texas, Dripping Springs has a school board election going on right now. We have been able to kind of turn tables in the past couple of years and get some more like-minded conservatives or just people with common sense into our school board. It doesn't even have to be conservative or liberal. It's just common sense. We've been able to do that. We've made a lot of progress, but this election is crucial for us this year. And I had heard on Todd and Oz, I think it was a couple days ago, they had one from Eanes call in and just kind of talk about where he stands. And I just wanted to do a little bit of a plug and kind of talk about what's going on in our district.
Let me get to the heart of the matter. What is there one primary key issue that's on your mind?
Right now, yes. KXAN ran a story recently, and it seemed a little bit one-sided. Love that news channel. Watch them for my weather always. It was some verbiage that was going to be taken out of our student code of conduct. And mainly the verbiage was taken out just to be across the board. No bullying is tolerated, period. We don't need to have your sexual identity, your LT or LGBTQRS, blah, blah, any of that. It's just period. It is not tolerated. We love one another. We treat each other with respect, and that is it. And there was a school board meeting that ended up being complete madness because these people that are constantly preaching for equality are trying to single themselves out, in my opinion, this is my opinion, don't want to offend anybody, are trying to single themselves out, and they want their specific own verbiage, own paragraph of how these certain types of people should be treated, which that is simply just not the case in our district. We want everyone to be treated properly, with respect, with kindness, and we just didn't feel that verbiage needed to be in our student code of conduct because that, for most people like me, that I feel like that further singles other people out. It manufactures a division that does not need to be there.
All right. Hang on.
Yeah, and I'm curious. I'm with you. I absolutely believe it is no bullying, period. The people that are saying there has to be certain language that says bullying against this type of population is not approved or will not be tolerated. Are they looking for a different kind of punishment than someone that gets bullied that doesn't fall into that category?
I feel like that's kind of where it was leading to or alluding to. And for me, what they're trying to do, that other sector that wants that specific paragraph or that specific verbiage, then they're singling out my children. who don't identify a certain way, who have been raised in a Christian household, who, you know, that conversation is for one that happens at home with me and my husband. I have four kids. Three are in this school district. One is in AISD, but was in private before. And this is just mind-blowing to me because I see my kids' grades, you know, kind of starting to fall. They're all great students. We're A's and B's, you know, but I've seen them fall. And I don't think it was just because of the COVID fall of what everything happened. I think it's because there is so much other noise in their ears at school every single day that does not need to be there. And they're not focusing on what matters, which is reading, math, science, history.
All right, Ashley, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, and I was reading something. I'm trying to think. I don't know if it was in relation to the Dripping Springs thing that she was talking about or in relation to Governor Abbott, who recently made a comment about not wanting teachers to dress whatever gender that they wanted to. But anyway, in the conversation, it said that we are getting away from, and it was quoting a teacher, getting away from being able to ask the students how they're feeling and what their feelings were on that day. And I thought, is that what we've turned our schools into? Is how are you feeling? And not to say that that's not important. You should know if something's going on in a kid's home environment that's not good for that kid. But that's not what our teachers are there for. They're mm-hmm. not there to put the feelings above the academics. They're supposed to be teaching. They can have a heart while they're doing it, but that shouldn't be their first and foremost priority.
No, it should not. Also in the news today, there were more protests at UT Austin. Yesterday, 57 people were arrested. UT officials have told KVU 26 of the 57 arrested were not UT students or staff. Not UT students or staff. Travis County Attorney Delia Garza has already dismissed the vast majority of the criminal trespass charges that were filed against these people. She put out a statement saying that her office looked at these and decided there was no probable cause to arrest these people in the first place. And she said the magistrates agreed with her opinion.
Yeah, they say that so far that they had received 46 cases, reviewed them, and all of them fell short. Which I'm trying, no probable cause on a criminal trespass. One that the university had already warned, if you do this, we will have you arrested for criminal trespass. So how was there not probable cause? Especially, and maybe because only 46 cases have been dismissed right now out of mm-hmm. the 57, mm-hmm. maybe the 17 or the 11 that are left are those that are not students. Maybe she thought, okay, if you're a student, that's not trespassing because you have the right to be on campus. I don't understand it.
I don't think so. She prefers not to prosecute people on any charges in any case. That is her philosophy. She does not believe in jail or prison, and she turns away and drops many, many misdemeanor charges. We've heard the Austin police complain about it. Other law enforcement have complained. That is County Attorney Delia Garza. And in this case, UT had made it very clear with a letter in advance of these events yesterday to the outside group that was calling for this to happen. And UT said, you're not affiliated with the university. You have no right to do this, and you will be arrested if you have this rally on the campus.
I don't understand it. Going back to the county attorney, do they fall under that new law that the Travis County DA falls under? Does the county attorney fall under that as too? If they're not doing their job, if they're not prosecuting, can a petition be signed or a case filed to have them removed?
We'll have to look into that. I don't know the answer off the top of my head because generally county attorneys will prosecute people. They work closely with law enforcement. In this case, Delia Garza does not want to prosecute people. She looks for reasons to drop charges. And that's what's happened here in the majority of these cases so far.
Well, and I would think if UT put out the sign, I would think UT would be upset right now, saying we gave them the warning. They were on our property.
Yes.
They trespassed. We want the charges to be there. We want that to play out, not you just drop the charges. That's why we called DPS. That's why we made sure that we had APD and the university police on campus.
Mm-hmm. It completely undercuts the leadership of UT Austin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work in your comments coming up just ahead, 512-836-0590. Join the discussion, Mark and Melinda on KLBJ.
And now back to the Mark and Melinda Show. Join the conversation at 512-836-0590.
Let's go to Jim and Leander at 416. How are you this afternoon, Jim?
Doing well. Appreciate taking my call. You guys have a great show. Appreciate it. Really love.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I was wanting to comment on the not prosecuting the crimes. Well, if you remember our beloved Summer of Love in 2020, well, the crime shot up in Austin. Well, if you're a company, if you're a large company, you want to have a convention, you sure don't want to have it in a city full of crime. Well, what do? You don't prosecute the crime. Therefore, it does not go on the record.
Yeah, and I saw an article earlier this week that said crime in Austin has dropped. And I quickly saw the next article that said businesses along 183, a lot of them were broken into. I thought, okay, try to sell that.
When you're a bought and paid for Soros judge, you're not going to prosecute crimes because you get paid not to prosecute those crimes. So Austin will once again appear as a reasonably safe city to move to or to have your meeting in or to have your convention.
Yeah, I think there are some people who have given up, unfortunately, on reporting crimes.
That's even worse.
Yeah, in other cases, the police don't have the manpower to take the report and investigate it. And so that can affect the total data. You have to look really deep into the picture. Is every single crime being reported and prosecuted, et cetera, et cetera? It may not be. It's probably not.
Well, we know for a fact it's not being prosecuted. Most of them are being dropped. So there's that. Yeah.
And you also have the double whammy of them not prosecuting. Therefore, they don't have to do any jail time. So guess what? They're back out on the streets committing the same crimes over and over again. It's really, really frustrating. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm, thank you, thanks. Jim. Exhibit A is the homeless guy with the chainsaw in South Austin, arrested 5 times for threatening residents. County Attorney Delia Garza dropped all of the cases. The 6th time he was arrested by APD was a felony charge, and DA Garza dropped that one. So 6 times he was arrested.
And 6 times had the charges dropped.
Yes.
It shouldn't be.
And they
want to
claim Austin is safer and crime is down?
Well, it's easy to claim that when you're not recording it.
Exactly. Let's go to Patrick, Southwest Austin, with Mark and Melinda, 418. Hello, Patrick. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm wonderful once again. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, so I'm wondering, is anyone else curious if Ms. Garza may have poked the wrong bear here and picked a fight with the University of Texas?
You know, I don't think, this is going to be my opinion here. I don't think you're going to have the University of Texas really pushing back hard on these charges being dropped. I think they did the right thing by putting out the memos to the two separate groups, the students and then the group that was organizing this, saying we won't tolerate this. I think they did the right thing by calling in law enforcement to make sure that it didn't become a Columbia University type situation. But I don't think that they're going to be all that upset that charges were dropped, especially if it turns out that the charges that were dropped were all students.
Well, I'm just curious that they wield more power than God, most people around this city. So they have tons of influence and power. So hopefully they would get some program to help get her out along with the other Garza, Mr. Garza. Also, we need to get rid of both the attorneys.
Well, Patrick, I could see the UT leadership becoming very angry if the people had the charges dropped and then they're back and they try to put up the tents again and recreate Columbia. UT would have every right, because that's the thing they're trying to avoid, is another Columbia or Yale or NYU.
Well, we don't want to look. Yeah, we don't want that look here in Texas. They're not going to get away with it. At least the University of Texas is not going to let them get away with it.
And Governor Abbott as well. Governor Abbott is involved.
Yep. I wish he had the authority to get rid of Garza and Jose also, because they're part of what's wrecking the city. And we've got some rotten judges in the city also letting people go. Who's held accountable anymore? I think 157 murders in Houston last year were committed by folks who are out on low or no bail bonds.
Yeah, you're right about that, Patrick. Thank you. In fact, toward the end of the show yesterday, we played the audio of the Houston Police Union. They said, we have guys who are awaiting trial on capital murder who are getting out on bond. They're violating the terms of their release. They go back to the judges. They get released again. They said they have some capital murder suspects who are walking around with six different violations of their release, and they're still allowed to roam free. And they say, guess what they do while they're out? They commit more crimes.
Crime.
That's what they are. They are criminals. Yeah. Very hardcore.
Why would they not? They're not getting anyone saying don't. I mean, yeah, they get arrested, but if they're out so quickly, that's not really a we won't tolerate this type of thing. And I wanted, since we were talking about UT, I'm seeing the Statesman says that today, when the protest happened, professors joined the students for the protest. So to me, that's where you're going to see how serious UT was.
Yes, and I had heard this morning that today's event originally was for diversity, equity, inclusion, to protest the firing of all of the staff in that department at UT, and that they were UT staff and students who got permission to have a protest. But we're going to turn the time over to these Palestinian protesters today. So that may be part of the mix as to why they're not having these people arrested today and removed. We'll just have to watch it closely. Have you seen any indication that arrests have been occurring today?
No, not today. And this morning, or a little bit earlier this afternoon, when they first started showing back up at the campus, it just said not as big of a presence of law enforcement as we saw yesterday. It didn't go into details as to, was the DPS back down there? Are we talking about it was just UT police that were there? And I'm seeing the Statesman interviewed several of the students that were down there, with one saying, I came today because I'm protesting what the university did with that show of force with law enforcement against people that are just practicing their First Amendment right.
All right, let's go to Bob. He wants to weigh in at 4:23 with Mark and Melinda. Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I would assume, I guess my question is, why doesn't Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton have these rogue prosecutors who aren't doing their job, they aren't fulfilling their constitutional duty, removed? I'm assuming there's something in the state statute that lists the minimum requirements that these prosecutors are supposed to follow. And if they don't, you know, I would assume, again, that the state authorities have the right to have them removed.
Bob, there's a new state law, and it spells out the process that has to be followed to remove a rogue district attorney. It's now being followed by a case here in Austin. A sexual assault victim filed the complaint. A judge has been appointed. An investigator has been appointed. There's going to be a hearing in May, in about 3 weeks, where the DA must appear before a judge from Comal County to address these charges. And it could result in a trial, which might lead to the removal of Travis County DA Jose Garza.
Well, that's encouraging. That's good to know. It can't happen soon enough. And I think it should apply to judges as well who don't uphold the law.
All right, Bob, thank you. You have a good afternoon. 512-836-0590. People are completely fed up, Melinda, like Bob and many, many others. They're sick of seeing the criminal suspects arrested and then turn loose with no consequences.
There are a lot that are fed up, but there are still some that are okay with it. And you can take the last primary that you had someone in the Democrat Party that was running against D.A. Garza who had stated that they would be a little bit tougher on crime than D.A. Garza has been. That was a flop. Mm-hmm. D.A. Garza was easily declared the winner of the primary.
Yeah, with over 60% of the vote. When it comes to the protests occurring at the college campuses, Republican Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida says that President Biden should be saying more and doing more.
When you're in some of these study courses where you have radical professors who just theorize about their political worldviews, that really centers on indoctrination. It's causing serious problems, not only at these universities, but it is a bigger issue than that. How come the president of the United States, how come he hasn't called for the National Guard to go in and protect students?
All right, you can weigh in on that aspect of all of these situations as well. Here are the numbers, 512-836-0590. It's Mark and Melinda.
Mark and Melinda.
Well, the great team at QC Kinetics is standing by and ready to help you get rid of that joint pain. Yes, without surgery, without drugs, and without downtime. How do they do it? They do it with natural biologics from your own body. This is called regenerative medicine, and it's remarkably effective. Thousands of people here in Central Texas already have been able to get free from that joint pain with the help of QC Kinetics. It really is amazing what they do. I want you to call them and set up a free consultation. 512-593-4303. QC Kinetics is here in Austin and in Round Rock. Go see them. Whether it's knee pain, hip pain, elbow pain, back pain, whatever joint pain you have that's keeping you from doing those activities that you have to do or enjoy doing, you must go see QC Kinetics. Remember, no surgery, no steroids, and no drugs. This is a remarkably effective way to get rid of that joint pain. Again, that number, 512-593-4303, QC Kinetics.
And now, back to the Mark and Melinda Show. Join the conversation at 512-836-0590.
431, thank you for joining us. Trey is here producing. You're seeing an update from the Statesman regarding UT Austin and what's happening today?
Yeah, so they did have, as you heard Rachel say, they did have another protest this afternoon. It started around noon. They were there for about 2 hours and then they dispersed. Today we saw the pro-Palestinian protesters, some of them. They were joined by a group of pro-Israel protesters who had competing chants. You had Free Palestine with the pro-Israel saying free hostages. It seemed to be way less chaotic than yesterday, and about a dozen officers stood out there on the tower steps or off to the side and just kind of watched everything. And it doesn't appear that there were any arrests today.
It sounds as though the Palestine Solidarity Committee has concluded Governor Abbott and UT are not going to be pushovers the way Columbia and NYU and Yale were. And looks like they've completely backed off.
Hopefully.
Because they were the ones that tried to hold yesterday's event, and UT said, no, you're not affiliated with UT. You don't have permission to do this.
Well, and UT is right. And to me, it was the proper response. And I know I was reading in that Statesman article that you had people that were joining today saying that their protest wasn't pro-Palestine or pro-Israel. Their protest was simply that they didn't like the way the university responded with the law enforcement presence that they had yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Now, related to all of this, you're also seeing that USC, the University of Southern California, is responding to protests. Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Well, they today announced that they are canceling their main stage graduation ceremony. They said that they didn't want to take any chances with it being spoiled or messed up by protesters. So they canceled the main stage graduation. What they're going to do, what it sounds like they're going to do, is have individual ceremonies, I guess, for like each degree. So if you're getting, I'll take my degree, a Bachelor of Fine Arts in radio, television, film, like I would have with my group, we would graduate together in a small ceremony and then do that for the business school. Or that's what they're doing. And it is, to me, I don't understand this move, because here you are, you're canceling a graduation ceremony. And I know people feel different. Some people, it doesn't matter to them whether or not they walk across the stage. Some people and their family really care.
Yes, they do.
To see that happen. Why would you cancel that instead of saying, like UT did, this will not be tolerated, you'll be arrested if you try to disrupt the ceremony?
That's what they should have done. This is the wrong move in entirely canceling the full commencement. They are robbing a large number of students and parents from a once-in-a-lifetime experience that, as you said, some people really want to do that.
Well, and I saw one reported noted, this is 2024. You have the possibility that the students that will be graduating from the University of Southern California got their high school graduations canceled because of COVID in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they're missing both of these. USC is caving into a relatively small group of people, agitators, trying to make trouble, create trouble, and they've succeeded. Some call it the heckler's veto.
Yeah.
The heckler out there in the crowd shouts loud enough and long enough, and they can shout down a speaker, even somebody who's been invited to speak at a gathering. And that should not be the case.
It shouldn't be happening. And sadly, I'm not sure that this will be the only university, because I started seeing articles yesterday about Columbia University trying to figure out what they were going to do about graduations. Remember, they already canceled classes, moved it remotely or hybrid, and so they're trying to figure out exactly how they're going to move forth with graduations. And it shouldn't be, we're figuring this out. It should be, you're out of here, and we're going to have the ceremony for these people that worked hard to get these degrees.
Yes, the regular standard ceremony. And if you can't be civilized and behave, you're going to be arrested and ejected.
Mm-hmm.
You can weigh in with your thoughts, 512-836-0590. Call or text to join the conversation. We also have a new poll out today of registered voters across America. Axios says 51% of Americans say they support mass deportations of people who are in the country illegally. Mass deportations. 42% of Democrats support it. More than 40% of minority groups support it as well. They broke it up according to ethnicity and race. More than 40%, at least in every category. It's well beyond 60% among Republicans. But overall, if you lump them all together, 51% support mass deportations of illegal immigrants.
To me, this is a sign that the Biden administration went way too far with their easy parole policies. They're just allowing for any and all people crossing illegally to stay in the United States. And we've talked about it many times, the impact it's had on cities that 5 years ago never would have even thought that they would have an impact from people coming here illegally. And they are being hit hard. This is, you moved too far.
Yes.
And now people have had their eyes opened up in a manner that they probably wouldn't before, and they don't like what they're seeing. And so that's why they're calling for a mass deportation.
Yes. Former President Trump visited a construction site in New York City this morning before he had to appear in his trial. And listen to this audio. He got a very, very strong positive reception from these union members at the construction site. They were chanting USA, USA for Trump. And then the leader of the Carpenters Union spoke to the media. His name is Bobby Bartels, and he says, in the past, we are all basically Democrats, all of us. After what's happened in the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're very patriotic. We love our country. We want the best for America. We are tired of this illegal immigration. Here's more from the union leader.
We are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
That is a union in one of the bluest of the blue cities in America. That's a construction site in Manhattan. And he's saying his Democrat union members 3-1 favor Trump.
Well, we actually have seen in a lot of the automotive unions, the members themselves are more supportive of Trump. It is the board of the union or the presidents of the unions that are more for Biden.
Let's go to Chad at 512-836-0590. You can join the discussion as well. Chad, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing great. So good to talk to you guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just got a quick thought on this protesting on the campuses. It shows the culture of California versus Texas and the leadership and the people really what make up the culture. California's favorite word is cancel. We're going to cancel it. We're going to cancel you. Now we're going to cancel what you love. Texas, our culture is, hey, you do that on our campuses, we'll put your butt in jail.
Yeah, the leadership of USC has really, well, they've surrendered. They have raised the white flag to the agitators, and it's wrong for them to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely wrong. And especially what you said, 4 years ago, these kids missed their high school graduation. And so, I mean, you're exactly right when allowing a small, relatively small group of people rule the course of these events and then punishing the entire class, graduating class, because of that is absolutely ridiculous.
And many of the agitators are not even students at USC or Columbia or NYU. Pick a university. They're part of a well-funded, highly coordinated effort to gin up protests and trouble across the country.
Right. Yep. Funded by the left. It's sad. It really is sad. But it shows the culture of these two different states.
Yeah, good point there, Chad. Thank you. You have a good afternoon. 512-836-0590. It's 441 with Mark and Melinda.
And now, back to the Mark and Melinda Show. Join the conversation at 512-836-0590.
Hope you're having a good afternoon. This is a huge news day. The U.S. Supreme Court also was in session this morning hearing arguments on former President Trump's claim that all presidents should enjoy immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts while they're in office. They went more than 3 hours. Usually the Supreme Court will set aside 1 hour for arguments, but they went for 3.5 hours on this case today.
Shows you how important it is.
Oh, yes. There is a lot on the line. And Justice Kavanaugh said, I'm not so much focused on the Trump case as I am the future of the presidency. And he was saying this has enormous implications for the Constitution and the three branches of power, the separation of powers, because he said there is a legitimate concern that a president could make an official decision while in office and then face prosecution for that decision after leaving office. And we need to be very careful in deciding what we want to do in this case. So that's why they asked many, many questions for many hours. And the Supreme Court says that it appears to them that the majority, the conservatives, seem to be siding with Trump in his argument, if not that all presidents should have a complete, absolute blanket immunity from criminal charges, but generally speaking, they should be free to make official decisions.
Yeah, I saw some predictions that it would probably be either a 5-4 decision or a 6-3 decision. Not unanimous by any means, which I think you can probably figure that out. Just listening by some of their questions and in the way that they go, how they're leaning is where they get this from. The question to me is, when do they come back with their ruling? A lot of times it's in the summertime, but, you know, Trump's waiting. Prosecutor Smith is kind of waiting to see, will they come back with a ruling before the summer?
I don't think so. I haven't seen any indication that they will. I have heard that they're going to vote on this tomorrow in private, and then they'll go to work writing the opinion, which takes a lot of time and effort. Their clerks.
Are we going to get any leaks?
Well, we might. I mean, the precedent has been set that they have tolerated the leak of the abortion decision, and they allowed to go that unpunished.
I'm just curious if it goes in a sense where they actually vote on this and they say, okay, yeah, Trump doesn't have immunity. I could see that leaking, you know, to get out there and say, okay, they're going to be able to move forward with this case.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear your thoughts on this. 512-836-0590. This is brand new ground. Trump is the first president in our country's history to face criminal prosecution. And so there is so much on the line here. And you heard arguments on both sides today from the Trump attorneys. They were saying, well, what about former President Obama, who ordered a drone strike to kill a U.S. citizen overseas? Mm-hmm. What if someone decided after he left office to charge him with criminal charges for that decision? Do we really want to go down that path?
Well, I think when you're making decisions like that, it should never be debated by the president if he's going to act because he's thinking about, will I be charged in this? I mean, they're put into some pretty difficult positions in some of the decisions that they have to make. Do you really want someone in there making decisions, second guessing themselves on, well, I would do it, but I'm not going to because I think they'll probably come after me later? No, you don't. But I also believe, and as you pointed out earlier this afternoon, rightfully, that we have a process that if the president is in any way abusing the power and calling for something that is really out of his realm to call for, then we have the impeachment process that is somewhat of a prosecution through Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can lead to the removal of that president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And you've heard all of these examples being thrown out. What if he orders a special ops team to murder a political opponent? Examples like that, just really extreme examples. Well, the House has the process. Bring the impeachment charges, impeach him, send it to the Senate, have that trial, and remove him.
Mm-hmm. So that he's not making those kind of decisions anymore.
Yes. Here are the numbers, 512-836-0590. Some legal experts are saying the high court may order this back to a lower court for more hearings. The high court today was very critical of the Washington, D.C. appellate court. They were saying that the opinion that they reached was not serious, not well-written, really didn't have the depth that a case like this should receive, and it may be sent back, which would delay this even further. And in that case, that works to Trump's advantage.
To me, I'm not in agreement with the Supreme Court sending cases back or saying, okay, I see the big picture of this case, but I'm only going to rule on a small portion of this. Listen, if you've accepted it to hear the arguments in front of the Supreme Court, you've said, yes, we're going to hear this, rule on it, rule on it and make it a, from here on out, the Supreme Court has said, and rule on the entirety of the case. Don't just pull out a small portion. It's made it that far. You've heard the arguments. Just rule on it.
Mm-hmm. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said she has concerns about providing blanket immunity for official acts. She says it could turn the Oval Office into the seat of criminal activity in this country.
That's extreme. And then I would just point out, has it? We haven't been acting under, yes, you can prosecute someone when they leave the office. And we've had numerous presidents in this country. Are you saying that there hasn't ever until now been something? I mean, you just mentioned something Obama did. You mm-hmm. could probably go back to every single president that we've had and pull out something that you could say, okay, yeah, we could prosecute on this, but we haven't.
Yeah, she seems to be saying you could turn it into the office of the Gambino crime family.
I would even... No matter what Congress is made up with, I don't think you're going to have everybody in Congress that would be on board with allowing that to happen.
No, I don't either. And it has not been happening throughout our history. Yes, some presidents have made decisions that people objected to strenuously, but we have not waited for them to leave office and then file criminal charges against them.
Right.
Abe Lincoln, he came up today. They said he suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. The Supreme Court ruled he did not have the power to do that, and he continued to do it, even after he had been ordered by the Supreme Court. You can't do this. Only Congress could do this. He kept it in place throughout the Civil War.
So if some of these justices have their way, let's go ahead and start writing up the prosecution for Biden, if that's the... Example, the Supreme Court tells you no and you continue to do it.
Well, and it could happen. Even some state prosecutor could charge Biden after he leaves office. Let's go to Jesse in South Austin, 453. Mark and Melinda, good afternoon, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm sure y'all are too. I call several times and love y'all's show.
Thank you, Jesse. Welcome. What are your thoughts today?
Well, Two, if y'all give me the quick time to do it. One, I originally called about the university or the college, you know, protests or whatever. You know, all these universities, I don't care if it's a high school, I don't care if it's a university, school property. These are institutions of education. That's it, period. Take your stuff off property. They have got to start putting their foot down and quit putting up with all this bunch of baloney.
Mm-hmm.
And then what y'all just brought up now was while I was waiting is the Supreme Court on the Trump thing, if he can be charged immunity for president. I think it's an open and shut case. And I agree with what y'all said. The Supreme Court has got to make a final decision and just be done with it. And it's very simple. I think everybody has the common sense. If we let this go and charge Trump just because it's Trump, whether you like the guy or not, then future presidencies are in jeopardy. And we do not need a commander-in-chief who is hesitant to do something because they're afraid they may be charged to have to go to prison. We're dealing with it on a local level across the United States with our police officers in a lot of departments.
Very good, Jesse. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir. More to come right after the news, which is next with Mark and Melinda.
Maybe you or someone you know has a serious medical condition. Maybe you're just looking for answers on why you're not feeling well. Well, we've got a great show for you on KLBJ. Hi, I'm Ron Aaron with WellMed Radio, an entertaining and detailed look at health and wellness for seniors and other adults age 18 to 101. We bring you recommendations on how to live longer and healthier lives. Tune in to WellMed Radio Saturdays at 7 p.m. with the Caregiver SOS show immediately following right here on News Radio KLBJ.